knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's live in the studio. I'm very excited.
That's what makes today's visit different from most visits.
Right.
Is that here you are.
I'm here.
You're not a hologram. This is really you.
Yeah, but for everyone except the two of you, it's like, what's the big deal?
I know, but we just like to see you.
It's the same thing.
I liked seeing you on the WGN 70th anniversary special. You did a wonderful job.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. And my specialty of Dean living in the past.
Mm-hmm. One of the best places to live.
It is.
There's always candy canes and happiness.
Yeah. In the past, it's a great place.
Yeah.
Can I pay you a huge compliment? You made me laugh so hard last week. You were talking on Steve Cochran's show with Steve about the Russian tape, the alleged Russian tape. And you said the fun thing about these Russian tapes, these alleged Russian tapes, is because they're Russian, there's a smaller tape inside that one.
That was funny. The nesting tapes.
That was good stuff.
Thanks. And I repaid the compliment to you by having Kevin Hart on my show, who I know is your favorite comedian.
Favorite comedian of all time, yeah.
I know. He was in Chicago last Saturday.
Yeah.
And while I'm talking to him, it's like, I hope Bill's not watching this right now.
Boy, you got into Dean's head.
I didn't mean to get in your head.
That didn't stop me from replaying the interview about six times.
Of course.
Between now and then. But it's like one of these little internal jokes that you have for yourself. It's like, I hope Bill's not listening.
No.
In a way, I sort of want to call him right now and say, Bill, turn the radio on right now.
And everybody has somebody like this where everybody in the world seems to enjoy them, and you just go, what am I missing? I must be missing something. What is it?
Complete hilariousness?
Is that what it is? I don't know.
Do you like him, Wendy? I'm going to say by the look of...
I don't care either way.
This is good that I'm here, that I can see the looks on your faces. Wendy just, I think, threw up in her mouth a little bit right now.
He was funny the first time. Was he on twice on SNL?
Two or three times.
Okay, because the first couple times, this last time he wasn't funny to me, and I was like, what is the big deal? He's okay. I don't dislike him at all. He doesn't do much for me. I hear from everyone that he's terribly nice.
He's very, very nice, and that may be part of it. I may have somewhat have drank the Kevin Hart Kool-Aid a little bit.
But wasn't it your interview? Oh, go on.
But also, I just like, he's completely silly. He's like a out of control
toddler,
little 8-year-old, or 5-year-old, something that won't stop telling jokes regardless of whether they're funny or not. It's still kind of I still find it kind of amusing.
His
voice goes up when he's Dean, I don't want to even get into his voice because it starts to sound offensive, but. I like him.
Wasn't it during your interview with him, though, where he said, it came up what happened during the Super Bowl when the Eagles won. And he said, I believed that the people of Philadelphia wanted to see me with the Super Bowl
that's
trophy.
Right.
I'm not positive that's accurate.
He also said in that interview that he was pretty drunk.
Yes.
So that may have been his perception at the time.
All right.
And also said in that interview that if the 76ers win, are they still in the finals right now?
I think they're still involved.
In the playoffs, because he was super excited about that.
Yeah.
He said that he will do exactly the same thing again.
I felt sorry for him. I really did.
He couldn't get past security.
I know.
They didn't know who he was, and that that messed with him major.
So this is part of why I like him, though. He's trying to be near the statue.
Right.
The statue was right behind him the whole time, and he didn't know it. And as he acknowledged in the interview, all I had to do was turn around. It was right there. But he was trying to push past these big security guards.
I know. They would have none of it.
They weren't having any of it. I don't care who you think you are.
That's embarrassing.
They were from the Bill Left School of security guards.
Yes.
Is that who they were getting their orders from on the little earbuds?
Yeah, I was talking to him.
Don't let him in.
On the CB radio.
Yeah, don't let him turn around. The statue's right behind
him. Watch him like a bug.
Right. The eagle is right behind him.
Don't let him see the eagle. All right, I have to ask you, I hope you're aware of this joke. There was a joke on Roseanne Barr's show 2 weeks ago that she's still getting heat for. Wendy and I talked about it a little bit. This is where she and Dan, have you been watching the Roseanne show at all?
I've seen a couple of them. I'm not sure.
Right.
I saw the first one, and I'm not sure. Maybe one other one.
In episode 3, because the first night it was on, they did back-to-backs. They did episode 1 and 2 on the first night.
I saw both of those. Right.
So on episode 3, Roseanne and John Goodman's character, Dan, They're asleep on the couch.
Right.
Right. I want to get the wording right because I want to make sure that we get this totally in context. So Dan says, oh, we slept right through Wheel of Fortune and Kimmel. Right. What did we miss? And then she says, they're just like us. They're all caught. Now you're all caught up. As if to kind of dismiss those shows. You know, she's referring to Blackish and Just Off the Boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's her way of saying, you didn't miss a thing. Every week it's the same. It's just, it's a black family or an Asian family. And at the end, the lesson that we've all learned is they're just like us, right? But people are up in arms saying you're trivializing the black experience and the Asian experience. Yeah. But I think she's not. I think she's just making fun of those shows, isn't she?
Well, probably.
There's not a lot of struggle involved in those shows. So I think she's just saying they're just a family like ours. That's what I took it to mean.
Is it, or is it playing on her conservative bias that her persona now has?
Yeah,
that could be too.
That saying you didn't miss anything, it's the
probably
same plot line, and trivializing the, as you said, the black experience,
right,
the Asian experience, anything but the, you know, the white Anglo-Saxon experience that she's had.
You think in a time where right now there are several shows, there's the two we just mentioned, the Goldbergs is the Jewish version of that. I'm trying to remember.
Still didn't know they were Jewish for the first 8 seasons I watched that show.
The name wasn't the tip-off to you?
I thought maybe, but I didn't see much.
Boy, they have a lot of friends
Murray,
who are rabbis.
I didn't know.
But
I
do enjoy that candle that they have there. You could put 8 different candles in it.
I didn't know.
The rabbi scenes didn't do anything?
Nope.
No?
There wasn't a lot of rabbi scenes. I'm telling you, Bev Goldberg, I've watched every episode of that show.
The yarmulkes?
Well, that's when I figured it out.
Okay, all right.
When Jeff Garland parts the Red Sea, that didn't do it.
Nothing? When Menachem Begin did a guest shot on the show, you didn't say, hey.
They didn't have Jewish food. They didn't have very many Jewish customs.
Adam's history teacher, Moshe Dayan.
That didn't do anything?
No.
No? All right.
I didn't know that the magic door with Tiny Tove was Jewish either.
Yeah.
One of our favorite shows.
You know I was
in
on
our
that,
non-Jewish
right?
home. I didn't know
I
that.
I did a couple of
in
years
the later,
on that
show. He was in the magic door the later years.
Is that like Saved by the Bell the later years?
Yes. Same producers.
Tinier Tove.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with this Roseanne thing, but...
People are boycotting the show. They're saying she's been insensitive to minorities.
It's the highest rated show on ABC right now.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm sorry.
The latest ratings that are out, it's the highest rated show on ABC. Amazing.
They even did last Saturday, ABC was smart enough to do a special about the revisiting of Roseanne. Joy Behar hosted a one-hour special, and I watched that. I thought that was really good.
Yeah. It's interesting. This whole let's bring back old shows phenomena is very interesting to me. I find it amusing because I'm so curious to see what they're going to do with Murphy Brown when that comes out.
I am too. And Mad About You.
And Mad About You. I'm so curious because I think both of those were just, by the time they went off the air, were fairly mediocre shows.
Yeah.
I love the new Will and Grace.
Me
think
too.
It's really funny.
I haven't watched it. I didn't watch the old one.
And I'm terrified that we are never going to get any new shows ever again.
Just revisits.
Yeah, we're gonna. That's just going
to
be.
If they said to you, Dean,
shows.
It's up to you. We'll bring back any show you want from the past. We'll put it back on the air. What show would it be?
Oh boy. Well, see, I think one of the greatest sitcoms of all time is Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
That was good.
I'm not sure enough time has passed to bring that back again.
And no Peter Boyle.
No Peter Boyle.
Both parents. The mom and dad.
No Doris Roberts.
Yes.
Marie Barone that were
Raymond.
Such incredibly important parts of the show. And one of the little boys.
Oh,
the little
yeah.
twins who committed suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Was sad. Cyril. So but that would be sad. But that's one of those shows
Everybody loves Raymond.
I could watch it all the time. And
Wendy, which one for you? Would you bring back any show you could bring it back?
I would say the Brady Bunch, but you can't recreate what they had. They tried
And they've tried a few times.
Yeah. Maybe Welcome Back, Cotter.
Welcome Back, Cotter.
With
but you're missing
Travolta
a few
now.
You're missing some hedgehogs, though.
I think just in the spirit of that nostalgia, I'm going to go back to WNUA for a couple of the, yeah. the three longest years of my life to still yes. see if it was as painful as it was the first time.
Oh, that'd be a fun visit.
I'd watch.
Do you know I'm still in electroshock therapy?
Because of that?
Every time I hear a Kenny G song, I go into severe depression.
Oh, no. That's awful.
Yeah,
no.
Look
at Dean's vibrating.
Don't do that.
That's not good.
Well, that's,
Dean Richards, that's a separate matter.
Thank God I got fresh batteries before I came in here.
Dean Richards is here. We told you he'd be in the flesh. He just proved that.
I
will find out what movies are coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy along with Dean Richards on WGN. Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. We're talking movies and entertainment in general with Dean Richards, who's also a general, we just found out. A couple of comedies opening this weekend. Let's start out with I Feel Pretty.
Is Amy Schumer's new movie. Are you a fan of Amy Schumer?
I like her a lot,
Do you
yeah.
hate her as much as you do Kevin Hart?
No, I was a fan of Amy Schumer, and then
Wendy
I stopped
is no
kind
longer.
Of liking her.
What happened? What happened? What turned?
She.
Because I think I'm the same way.
Oh no!
I'm okay with a woman being bawdy and but it, she was just saying things for shock value and not really being funny to me. And also, it didn't help that people were accusing her of stealing material.
Mm.
Those two things combined made me not as excited about her.
I find a lot of contradiction in what she does of the bawdiness. And, you know, being like over the edge. And then suddenly she's, you know, Miss Responsibility and trying to tell, you know, perfect stories with pretty bows on them and nice morals.
Oh. That's not her stuff.
Either commit to the yeah. either commit to the R-rated comedy or don't.
Yeah.
Because to me, it hardly ever works together. And I think that's part of the what's going on with this new movie, I Feel Pretty. She's her typical bawdy Amy Schumer kind of character. She is a woman with curves, I think, is the polite way
yes.
to say it these days. You know, she's not a Barbie doll kind yeah. of character whatsoever. But she goes to a spinning class, takes a terrible fall off of one of those bikes, which I've long said are dangerous and really should be banned anyway.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing good comes from those spinning classes that everybody goes to. As you will see in this Amy Schumer movie, she falls off the bike, she hits her head, and when she regains consciousness, she's hallucinating that she is like a Barbie doll character, that she's supermodel gorgeous. She can't believe how she's changed.
Yeah.
Suddenly, she's got all the confidence in the world and all the bravado in the world, and nothing stops her, and she lives her life that way, even though really not one thing has changed.
Yeah.
Except that she's got a big bump on her head and that her hair got caught in the spokes of one of those bikes. Ooh. And it ripped a big patch of hair out. So this movie is about this new persona where it's the same Amy with curves,
yeah.
walking around in super tight supermodel clothes and flaunting it and acting like a supermodel, losing her old friends along the way because they don't like that she's changed her persona, yeah. gaining new friends. I would say kind of shallow and empty sort of friends along the way, gains a new boyfriend. And then what happens? She goes back on that bike, hits her head again, and she's suddenly back to being regular old Amy again.
That's how it happens.
Trying to undo the things that got done
yeah.
while she was hallucinating. So the movie, it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
it's a movie, really, that's a lesson about fat shaming and about bullying and treating people different ways because of the way that they look. I like all that part
yeah.
in it, but I'm not sure that all the R-ratedness of it goes along with this moral lesson that she's trying to teach.
Maybe
at the same time, it's only
conflicting views.
A little bit moderately funny, I think, is what I
did. She write this one, Dean, or not write this?
I don't. I'd have to look that up. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Right.
But she stars in this movie with some really, I think, outshining her in this movie are some of the supporting roles, like Michelle Williams, who plays a cosmetics company owner.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandmother is also starring in the movie, who is the famous... the famous model from the 1980s. The name is going to completely escape me here. I had it up on my computer a second ago. And will not be able to find it again.
A supermodel from the 80s?
Yeah.
Is it Cheryl Teagues?
It's not. It's Lauren Hutton.
Oh, Lauren Hutton.
It's Lauren Hutton.
From American Gigolo.
From American Gigolo.
With Richard Gere.
Yeah, exactly right. So there are some really, really great supporting performances in this movie.
Edie Bryant, right?
Edie Bryant from Saturday Night Live is in it. Tom Hopper plays her boyfriend in this movie. I think those are great. So I didn't hate this movie completely. I wound up giving it Dean's List C+.
Not terrible.
On this one. Not terrible.
What did you think of Snatch, the movie she made with Goldie Hawn about a year ago?
I liked that.
I thought that was really funny. Movie.
Yeah, it fell under a barrage of terrible reviews, which really surprised me because I thought it was kind of funny.
It felt
I thought,
like The In-Laws with women, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny.
Too. And that she and Goldie Hawn had pretty great chemistry together. So I did like that one. Now, are you familiar with this cult classic from the year 2001 called Super Troopers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you ever see that? Did you both see it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you love it?
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny.
I liked it.
I liked it very much. And tomorrow opening will be Super Troopers 2 that brings back every single one of the characters, every single one of the main guys for the movie, J. Chandra Sekhar, who is in the movie. He's the East Indian character in the movie. He also wrote and directed the original movie and also this one. So it's got that very same sensibility. He co-wrote the movie with the other guys in what they call the Broken Lizard Comedy Group.
Yeah.
That's how they all met. Steve Lemmy, Kevin Heffernan, Eric Stolhansky, and Peter Soder. They're all back together again, once again, as the five Vermont state troopers. This time, in a sort of a jurisdictional fight in a small Canadian border town over who has rights to a particular geographic area. So there are these guys, but also the dopey Canadian Mounted Police versions of these guys on the other side that are doing battle the whole time. That this movie, if you love the first movie, you're going to love this one because it's just as silly and just as stupid.
Why did it take so long between movies? I thought they'd do a sequel almost immediately, and it took forever.
Funding?
Is that what it was?
Money issues of... You know, the original movie made about $32 million, which isn't all that much by blockbuster standards. But it only cost them about $2 million to make that original movie. So they had a tremendous profit margin in the whole thing. Plus, all the guys were doing little different projects along the way. So I think that was part of it. But what really this movie reminded me of was Police Squad.
Yeah.
Or Airplane.
Yeah.
Where it's just one ridiculous thing happening after another, nonstop, silly, ridiculous things. Normally, I'm here with my movie critic hat on every week going, oh, we must have story before we have anything else. And story arc must make sense, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This one, it doesn't. This one is just silly. One silly R-rated, very R-rated laugh after another. Many of the originals from the original movie are back. Some of the people who did little supporting roles in the movie are back again in this one. So if you like the first one, you're going to like this one again. If you like just something that's complete, total mind candy, I think you're going to like Super Troopers. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Oh, that's great. And I believe Justin Kaufman has a couple of the stars on his show tonight. So if you're a fan of Super Troopers, he's got that going.
Much funnier than Kevin Hart, got to be honest with you.
I think so, too.
It's pretty funny.
I think so, too.
It's pretty funny. You know, here's part of my the way that I judge these movies. Often I see them at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do the TV morning show.
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty tired by 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I have to, usually the movies, this movie's about an hour and a half, but usually there's about 2 hours. I'm pretty tired by the time I'm seeing a movie. So if it doesn't grab my attention, like in the first 10 minutes.
You're out.
Nighty night.
Yeah.
Often literally. I'm not lying.
Up.
I'm not lying. I was sitting there like an idiot laughing out loud.
But
I was
good.
Laughing out loud at some of the silly things that were happening in this movie. So,
hi, Mark's from
Dean's List B on this one.
I love it. Dean, thank you. Great to see you in person.
Nice to see both of you. And I want to recommend that everyone go to Wendy's Facebook page and look at the performance of your son, Michael, right?
Yes.
Michael playing Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar. It was a while ago. Wendy just pointed it out to me. And
I'm so proud of him, because when that live thing came on Easter Sunday, I thought, my Judas was better than that Judas.
Oh.
Your Judas is pretty damn good.
Oh. Dean's List?
I'll say. I give it an A.
That's high praise.
It's one thing to have somebody just have a nice voice, but there's like a stage presence that you have, a dramatic quality there. You've got a little superstar on your
hands.
Thank you. Oh. Hi, Mark.
A traitor, though.
Highly recommended. What else am I going to say? She's sitting here
right
in front
here.
Of me.
You can't say anything bad. Exactly. That's Dean Richards. We'll find out what Steve has next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.